With all the wild swings we've seen in the stock market in recent weeks, the market seems to be showing a little bit of vulnerability. It's a little bouncing all over the place. Chaos in Greece, of course, the perceived cost of capital, all seems to be some of the factors that are in there. So what has all this meant for those of you invested in the Federal Thrift Investment Plan? Tom Trabucco is, of course, Director of External Affairs for the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. They are the folks that, of course, run your TSP. He joins us right here, right now, live with an update. Before we touch base on that, congratulations. I know it's a proud moment for a dad. You were off. Your son graduated yesterday.
That's right. My third child graduated from high school on yesterday afternoon.
So. Congratulations. That's very exciting. Give him a shout out and a congratulations.
Okay. Congratulations, Joe.
There
you
go.
Thank you very much.
And now you have three in college, so you have to hope that the TSP keeps going.
Exactly right. Let's keep having a lot of days like today.
Yeah, exactly.
Today's a terrific day in the market. Yeah.
Well, let's talk May, because it was the Wall Street Journal on the front page there. It said the worst May since Franklin Roosevelt was president.
That's right, and Hitler was attacking across Europe. Yeah, May was a dismal month for all TSP funds with any stock exposure. That's for sure. As negative returns ranged from -1.50 for the L Income Fund to a -11.2% for the I Fund. Worries about the problems in Greece, the Eurozone that cropped up in late April spilled into May, and then, of course, on May 6th, U.S. stock markets experienced has come to be known as the flash crash.
Yeah.
It was the fat-fingered trade early on, but I think it's going to be known forever as the flash crash, when the Dow fell almost 1,000 points in a very short period of time.
Yeah, it was a bizarre, wacky month.
Yeah, that's right. And investor confidence never seemed to recover from that still unexplained drop. May returns for the C&S funds were the worst since February 2009 and wiped out the yearly gain for the C fund. The G&F funds, of course, were the safe havens, as investors' lower appetite for risk caused them to unload stocks and buy bonds.
So G fund, which of course is essentially a government security. So
that's right. Never has a bad day. G fund was up 0.28% for the day. And the F fund, which is the index comprised of corporate grade, investment grade bonds, corporate and government, was up 0.85%. And that's pretty much the end of the good news for the
Right. Yeah. And as you look at these numbers, I mean, most of the other ones are all in red. C fund down almost 8%, S fund down almost 8%, 7.5%, and even for the C fund, even year to date, they lost no more gains for the year.
That's right. Yeah, both the C fund and the I fund are negative for the year now.
And the I fund's really negative for the year.
Yeah, really negative. That's right, because it's got the dollar going against it as well, with the euro losing value against the dollar. And then even in our L funds, the L funds with big exposures to stocks, the 2020, 2030, and 2040 funds have all gone negative for the year.
And, of course, the L funds, you say when you're going to start tapping that money, and that's when you sort of set it. So if it's if you're not tapping the money until 2040, that's a couple years away. So it's more stock-heavy than it is bond heavy.
That's exactly right, Chris. And if you're in the 2040 fund, I mean, you're still looking very good for the last year. That's why when we publish these returns, we give you the month, we give you the year to date, and then we give you the 12 trailing months, so that you can remember 2009 was a good year. Second half of the year, we came back pretty strongly. And if you're in the 2040 fund, your 12-month return is 16.89, which is a healthy return in anybody's book. 2030, still pretty strong, 15.21, 2020, 13.01, 2010, 8%, and even the L income for the last 12 months is up 6.84%.
And this, we always talk about this, but everybody that I talk to says, hey, if you're really doing this, you need to think long term. This isn't money that you're going to be tapping right away. It's for when you actually stop working.
That's exactly right. And even you know, once you do hit your target date, you're not going to withdraw all of your money, most likely, at that point. Some people will, and they'll put it in another investment. But an awful lot of people, when they do get to that point and start withdrawing it, they take it in monthly payments from the TSP and draw it out over the next 10 or 20 years in order to supplement their defined benefit payments.
And as we've talked about these numbers before, by and large, I mean, there's some shifting that goes around a little bit here and there, but by and large, people seem to really get that.
I think so, yes. When we talked last time, I had looked at the numbers because it was so volatile, and we had as many as 20,000 people in one of the days making an interfund transfer, generally towards the G fund and toward the F fund. But remember, out of our 4 million participants, 20,000 people is one half of 1%.
Now, I know people are always looking and saying, hey, why don't we have a gold fund? Why don't we have some other fund? Because gold and some of the hard metals are doing particularly well right now. And you guys always explain to them, hey, we look at this as a long-term investment.
That's right. The basic design of the TSP is to have these broad-based index funds where you include a number of sectors so that there is some offsetting within the index, giving you a broad range of investments because that's more stable and more secure than having a narrow sector-based investment. We have not closed the door on having narrower investments in the future. In fact, Congress approved something called a mutual fund window. If we feel that that is in the interest of participants and beneficiaries, we do have the authority to start that. We're currently working through a number of other new improvements. However, we have not decided to go forward with the mutual fund window as of yet. What's on our drawing board right now, this month, we should be rolling out the new website. We're not going to give a specific date on that. It's just going to be when we're ready. It will appear at the old address, and people will find it and find it quickly. So we've got that going on this month. And then in August, we'll be rolling out the automatic enrollment, which Congress has also authorized for us.
And that will be people who are actually hired after August.
That's correct. Yeah. That will be new hires only. So then we will have also a concerted effort to go back after the folks who are not currently contributing. We've got about 400,000 of them right now. We don't ignore them anytime, really. We rolled out the last summer, immediate employer contributions, which was another new benefit authorized by Congress. And simultaneously, we sent a leaflet to each of those 400,000 non-contributors asking the question, what's stopping you now? I thought it was a very clever kind of motivational piece, so
right.
Showing three green lights over the intersection.
Well, now Monday, we're going to talk a little bit more and delve into some of the numbers about, because there was a note from OPM that looked at particularly some of the minorities tend to be lower contributors. So Monday we're going to talk more about that and parse how you reach out to these folks.
That's right, yes.